I'm Steve Rivera, and thanks for joining me. If you stuck around for the first hour, it was good. Now we're going to have the second hour, and we're going to talk to the Sugar Skulls head coach, Marcus Coleman, here on the Arizona Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterback, and he is on the line. Coach, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing, Steve?
Fine, thank you. Hey, congrats on your first win as a head coach. Is that correct? As a head coach, you must have felt, I know you felt great for the guys. How did you feel for yourself?
To be quite honest with you, I hadn't really had time to think about myself. Yeah, I was more happy for the guys and the organization in regards to getting the first win in team history and the first win for a lot of those guys in the indoor football league. So honestly, for me, it's, you know, while it's somewhat significant, I think it's more important that everybody else outside the locker room, whether it be, you know, the organization, the fans, you know, I'm more happy for everybody else.
Yeah,
we got the first win.
When you go into a game like this, and this is your first scenario as a head coach, do you have these plans and these game plans? How well did those go in the first game?
Actually, for the most part, everything went pretty well. The only reason we had the mistakes that we had were they were more or less self mistakes. They weren't anything that we hadn't planned for or something that we hadn't seen. For the most part, I think we executed, you know, well overall. Defensively, I thought we were caught out of position a couple of times on some of the scores that they had. And on special teams, I think we just need to do a better job of staying in our lanes when we're doing twists and things like that. And the guys will pick up on that, and we'll correct that this week. But, I mean, if I had to grade it overall, I mean, I would say we're probably at about a, you know, B-, B-plus, somewhere around up in there for the first game. And guys getting used to the flow of the game and how it's structured with the national anthem and all the sponsorships in between and
yeah,
running on it, you know, the substituting aspect of it. So, I would give us probably, yeah, I'd probably give us, you know, B-, B-plus.
That's great. I'm sure. Can you describe how the bus, because you went on the bus trip going, because it's all business. This is a business trip for you guys. How was it,
right,
the mood? And then maybe you can describe the bus trip back.
Oh, the mood was great on the way down there. We actually stopped halfway and put over in Yuma to grab something to eat, you know, just grab a little lunch because we left pretty early. But, you know, guys were fired up. Guys were ready to get to San Diego. And I think a lot of people were, you know, a lot of the players were anxious to just kind of get the game
yeah,
on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I did talk to them about, you know, this is a business trip on the way down. And I don't mind guys. Obviously, most guys are watching movies or on their phones doing things like that. So once we got into the trip, you know, after that first hour or so, guys started to relax a little bit. Some guys, you know, took a nap, but the mood and the energy was great when we needed it to be. And on the way back, I think because a lot of the players have never played it indoors before, and then realizing it so fast and having to run on it off the field
yeah,
so quickly and get everything going, initially everybody was happy. We were fired up. I would say about 35, 40 minutes into the trip, everybody's too much sleep.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it wore them out a little bit, but. But, I'm glad they enjoyed it, you know, for the moment, you know, in the beginning of the bus trip on the way back, but definitely needed their rest. And you know, I think now they have an understanding of what it takes to play this game. So and that's probably why a lot of guys, you know, just didn't have a lot of energy left on the way back.
It's funny. The reason I asked the first part of the question, going there, it must be a great kind of hidden gem because it's more than football. But this bonding experience of 6-7 hours on a bus getting ready for
right,
a game, you get that from the guys.
Yeah, you do. And usually with the number of people that we have, guys can sit, you know, pretty much they have a row to themselves. But what I do like about this group is everybody doesn't have this. There are no real cliques
yeah,
or anything. So everybody just kind of sits where they are and everybody gets along and you start talking to each other. And you hear some of the old linemen talking to the DBs and running backs talking, you know, to the D linemen. And it is a buzzing experience. So you get to know each other, you know, from a firsthand basis and know a little bit more about their family, you know, things like that. They could be sharing videos and or watching movies together, things like that. So it does become a bonding experience, and it brings the team closer. And while the bus trips aren't always ideal, depending on how far you're going, but for us, you know, 5.5, 6 hours, you know, I think, you know, we made it work. And you know, I was actually pretty pleased that everybody was getting along, and you can just kind of hear the chatter in the back and everybody trying to get to know each other a little bit more and just, you know, trying to figure things out, especially the first time guys together. So I was happy to hear that.
And for you again, I know you don't want to talk about yourself, but how was it in the position calling the shots for you for the first time?
It really wasn't that difficult, to tell you the truth. The only thing that I was, you know, out of the realm of football that I had to worry about was, you know, walking the field, making sure the field was taken care of once we got to San Diego, that we had everything we needed in the locker room, whether it was towels for the guys, making sure our training was set up, you know, correctly, make sure, you know, Anton, our equipment manager, if he needed anything. And obviously with Jay, you know, having the media around and making sure that, you know, there's anybody I needed to talk to or if he needed any assistance with anything. That was really the only thing that I truly had to worry about. In regards to calling the shots, you know, they kind of, you know, I was more or less kind of prepared for that and had my mind made up about certain things if those situations came up. So I wouldn't say it was necessarily anything that was new that I, you know, hadn't already thought about or tried to think about in this game. And I'm sure something will come up in the future. So
yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm not calling myself Nostradamus or trying to be a genius about it. So I know it's going to come up. But, you know, just fortunately, everything that I did think about in this first game came up. And you know, myself and the rest of the staff were able to handle it.
Yeah. We're talking to Coach Marcus Coleman here of the Tucson Sugar Skulls here on the Arizona Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterback. You went into the game with a philosophy of the two quarterbacks, which is probably great because you have to kind of throw these people off or the opponents off. What's your philosophy?
Well, the thing that we're fortunate to have is we have two quarterbacks that can start anywhere else in this league, quite honestly. So it's more or less 1A, 1B, tell you the truth, with Matt and Jake. So Matt got the start. Obviously, he's been here a little bit longer. He's a little bit, you know, he's a little bit more familiar and probably a little deeper into the playbook than Jake is. You know, Jake obviously has only been here probably, you know, half a week or a week or somewhere, you know, in that perspective. So Matt obviously was going to lead off. And in the second half, we said we were going to throw Jake in. So, you know, and the level of play didn't fall off once Jake, you know, got on the field and you know, he took command of the offense as well. So that's really, you know, kind of the philosophy, you know, that's kind of what it's going to be here for the first couple of games, just to, you know, until somebody just really steps up. I mean, why not use both of them? They both have, you know, different skill sets. You know, I think Matt's, you know, probably a little bit better runner than Jake is. So if we need to use that down the line, we can do that. And I think Jake probably has, you know, a bigger arm in regards to accuracy and, you know, a little bit more zip on the ball than Matt does. So, you know, if I had, you know, I guess in a perfect world, you know, if I could take them and, you know, split them down the middle and glue them back together, you know, you'd have the perfect quarterback.
Right.
But, but we'll use them as we see fit and we'll definitely continue to play both of them. I don't see any reason why you would want to leave that much talent on the bench and at least not use both of them in different situations like that. So right now we're just kind of playing it as it goes, you know, until somebody just truly, you know, rises up and takes the number one spot.
Yeah, when we were watching you yesterday on the screen, you guys didn't show up until maybe the quarter and a half, and I think you had a lead by maybe a possession or two. And I'm thinking, and you're thinking this all the time probably, that no lead is safe. No lead is safe because anything can turn on a dime. And they got close, and then you guys pulled away. What's your philosophy in that, where no lead is safe and we got to score every time?
Yeah, no lead is safe, especially in indoor. No lead is safe. So, you know, until we get to a point where we can more or less call the dogs off, offensively and defensively. I'm telling guys, we try to score every drive. You know, until we get to the point where you know, we feel like we can slow it down and we get, you know, we're towards the end of the game, depending on what the lead is. But, yeah, we're trying to score every play. You know, and it's not in any kind of malicious way where I'm trying to run a score up on another coach or anything like that. But I've seen, you know, and I'm sure you have too. You've seen games, guys that have mm-hmm. 1 and 2 score leads, and they end up losing by 1 and 2 scores.
Yep.
So you have to continue to score until it just gets to the point where you feel like you truly have control of the game, and then you can slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, in sports, as you know, if some teams go and play not to lose, and all of a sudden they lose.
They lose, right. So at the end of the day, you always play to win.
Yeah.
That means if that means hanging 70 or 80 on somebody, you know, I apologize in advance. Because, you know,
I was gonna say that. I was gonna say you're not gonna apologize for that. In fact, when you guys were in the fourth quarter late with just like 25 seconds, it seems like that clock never stopped. You guys were still trying to score, and I'm thinking that doesn't look good. But I guess you know what? You have to do that.
Yeah, you have to do that. So it's not, like I said, it's not anything personal against the other team or the other coach. We want to make sure we walk out of there with, you know, with a win. So if it's 25 seconds, 45 seconds, or whatever it is, you know, if we have the ball on offense or if we have a chance to score on defense, we're going to score.
Yeah.
That's the philosophy, and, you know, we're going to use that the entire season.
Okay, great. Let's take a break real quick and come back here on the Arizona Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterbacks. Still talking to Coach Coleman. Coach, last time we spoke, about 2 weeks ago maybe, I said that I think, and I could be wrong, that the defense was ahead of the offense. When does that slowly transition? Or does it?
It usually happens it usually transitions when the offense starts really catching up, kind of midway, I guess, towards the end of camp, I will say. And then going into the season, they usually get to the point where it's evened out, you know, after probably the first or second week going into the season. So they usually have time to catch up, you know, towards the end. But honestly, the way our offense looked, you know,
you're good.
Last night, yeah, I think we're good. I think we're caught up.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to say,
close, yeah.
And for you're a defensive guy. And it's funny. I've always used the phrase, you know, offensive players drive Cadillacs, and defensive players, well, they don't. But you
right.
need both. And you have a lot of scorers and people who can score. But what about that defense?
Well, defensively, I think we're good. I think we're going to be. You know, we're still in some instances trying to get used to some of the drops. You know, coverage-wise, I think man-to-man, in man-to-man coverage, I think we can cover anybody, to tell the truth. And I think we showed it last night when we had to. You know, whenever I called, you know, made some man calls and we needed to get some stops and you know, kind of put the clamps down a little bit, I got stepped up and did a good job of, you know, of holding, you know, San Diego's receivers to a minimum, if no gain. So I, you know, just some of the zone stuff we still got to get used to. And with a lot of these guys, it is kind of their first time, like I said. So they'll, you know, being in the arena and being outside are a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
particularly when you're seeing different schemes and things like that. So I think they have a better idea of where the drops need to be in regards to being in the arena and seeing the field. And we'll go over that in film tomorrow as well, so they get an idea of where they actually need to be. But once we get the drops, you know, kind of down the way that we want them, I think we're going to be, you know, one of the better defenses in this league, and that's our goal as a defensive staff. You know, you definitely have to have stops, you know, particularly in this game, because I compare this game more or less to kind of a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are going to be scoring, but you need to get like two or three stops, you know, if you plan on winning, you know, throughout the game. So that's kind of the mentality I've had since I, you know, become a defensive coordinator, and I'm just bringing that, you know, into this year as well.
Sure, sure. And then go to the offensive side. You had Jones who scored some TDs. You had Currington who scored some TDs, I think three each. Those mm-hmm. guys are going to be heavy for you guys.
Yeah, they both played really well yesterday. Mike, you know, he's been doing a good job of working on his runs. And you know, kind of early on in camp, you know, he was more or less on some of the runs, so worried about getting the ball outside because he's used to being in the outdoor game.
Yeah.
You know, in this game, you know, when the flow is, when you get in pursuit, you know, when you have that wall there, you got to stick your foot in the ground and head north. So, you know, I thought he did a good job of making that adjustment. And Shaq really had a really good game. I was really impressed with the game that he had last night. He definitely stepped up. As far as I know, in regards to his route running, he was in the right spot every time, made some great catches, and, you know, was tough running the ball. So I was really impressed, you know, by the play that he had. So now we just need the other guys to, you know, kind of continue to, whether it be Shaq this week or Jerry next week or Raspberry the week after that, you know, there's going to be one or two guys that are going to have probably the better games, depending on who we're playing, just, you know, based off of the game plan.
Yeah, I kind of compare this thing. You the outdoor game's like a tennis game, and then on inside it's a ping pong it's a ping pong match where it's
right.
Every move is quick, and you got to be prepared for what's ahead. Let me ask you: this may be the dumbest question you'll get all season, and it's going to come from me. Are there any secrets to this game? if that makes any sense. Any, you know, when you play Monopoly, you have to kind of have a strategy or whatever, or you play whatever kind of game. There's always kind of a trick to it. Is there a trick to this?
I wouldn't say there's really a trick. The only thing you have to be aware of is, and it's no different than an outdoor game. You may get a different, you know, wrinkle here and there in regards to formation, or, there are some OCs out there that they'll bring in, obviously, a big guy, and they'll slide him out of the backfield when you're thinking it's a run play, you know, things like that. There's no real secrets, I would say, in this game. I think with the calls, it's just a matter of knowing, you know, understanding what you're going to call against who you're playing, and then doing a good job of knowing when to call certain things. You know, I think that's the most important thing than necessarily having all these plays and having all these defenses and offensive schemes drawn up. Well, there's plenty of books out there where that show you how to run offensive defense, but if you don't know how to apply it, you know, it's you basically you're just reading offensive and defensive schemes. So that, to me, that's the only trick. It's just knowing when to make the calls and when to, you know, anticipate certain things that are coming throughout the game.
And just score, baby. Just score.
Yeah, just score.
Yeah. So let me ask you. So in a game, normal game, how many possessions do you normally get?
Ooh, that's a tough question because it depends on the flow of the game. If you're getting, you know, two or three, you know, possibly even, you know, four, I guess you can call it three or four stops throughout the game. I mean, really, just depending on the drives. That's a good question. I'd have to really, like, think about that.
How many did you get yesterday? How many did you get yesterday?
Because the game can change. Well, we scored on – so we put up 64, and we scored on every drive but two. So I guess that would be – I guess around 10.
10. So let's average on 10. Yeah. Let's say average 10 a game, 11 a game. You have to score maybe on 7 or 8 of those.
Yeah, you would definitely have to score on 7 or 8 of those. If you're averaging or you're getting close to – 9 to 10 possessions a game, you at least need to score 7 to 8 of them. That's, you know, that's the only real formula that's probably going to work.
Right, right. Whether it's a field goal or some kind of, it's almost you're not going to win if you don't score at least something on that possession.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
You're going to have to score at least a field goal or a touchdown on every possession if you hope to win.
Yeah, you want to at least walk away with 3 if possible. You know, if you can't get the touch, then you at least want to try to walk away with 3. You know, because at least whether you're ahead or whether you're behind, at least it kind of keeps you, you know, it keeps you in the game in some kind of manner. If you're behind and if you're ahead, at least you get a few more points on the board, albeit 3. But you at least want to try to get the 3, you know, at the end of the day. Prefer, obviously, the touchdown, but if you can get 3, you know, 3 is in certain situations can sometimes, you know, put you over the top to where you get a win.
Yeah, no question. I'm sure winning is always obviously better than losing, and you come away with some kind of self-worth. So what do you think the win did for the guys as they move forward for game 2?
Well, honestly, I think it gave them confidence. I mean, I you know, coming into the game, I knew that, you know, the guys had, you know, a good feeling that we were a good team and that we had a lot, you know, a lot of good players in regards to pieces, you know, as a group. But I think going into the game, I think it just gave us more confidence of what kind of team we were. I mean, honestly, that kind of started, you know, once after the scrimmage against Arizona. Once they saw the speed of the game, they saw a team, you know, that the guys they have, you know, with the Rattlers, they have some experience. They understand the game, you know, especially the quarterback position and the other positions. You know, once our guys kind of got into the groove and saw what it was supposed to be like, actually the level of practice picked up, you know, I would say maybe a day, you know, after the scrimmage was over with. So I think they knew kind of what they expect in regards to the kind of level we need to be in order to be one of those teams or be able to compete with the big dogs that are already established in this league. So just coming out of that game, I think they feel good about being able to compete, understanding what, you know, what they should expect from other teams around the league, and just being confident and knowing that they can make the plays when we need them. Because we challenge them, you know, some of the plays that we called, and they stepped up and made those plays. So I think, you know, they're going to be confident, you know, coming into this week, and I think practice will be good, and it'll probably go up another level, hopefully.
Great, great. Well, Marcus, thanks for joining us on the first edition of the Arizona Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterback. You did a great job. congrats on the first win. Hope there's more.
Thank you.
Hope there's more.
Yeah, hope there's more. Got to stack those W's.
Yeah, you're right.
I saw that too.
You got to stack those W's. There's no better feeling.
Yeah.
That's great. Coach, we'll see you this weekend. We'll see you Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Yep, see you Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Thanks, guys. That's Marcus Coleman, the coach. Great to have this show going on every Monday with Arizona Housing Solutions, Monday afternoon quarterback with Brenda Baca's support. And I hope to have some Mike Vader or Jay Gonzalez or maybe a player or two later in the week, Friday, to preview the game here on the Arizona Housing Solutions Monday afternoon quarterback. It'll be like the Friday preview, if we can.
And I think we should make a note and tag this show that you asked a stupid question, or at least that's what you thought. I didn't think so, but I'm not going to tell you that.
No, I wanted to preface that because I thought it was a good question, but I just in case it was a bad question. I don't even remember the question.
I think all my questions are good questions. I don't think they're dumb until you say, man, well, that's really dumb. Then Pancho calls and says, why does he pick on you, Bob? And, I mean, Pancho says that, you know, my therapist says that. A lot of people say that.
Everybody says, why are we picking on you? You saw that movie, What About Bob, right? You had to have seen
Baby Steps. Baby yeah. steps
you saw
to the
that
door.
Movie. You didn't see that movie?
What I did. Bob? That's why I'm saying baby steps, because that's what he used to say in the movie. Yeah. Baby.
You remind me of
I think that
him.
Was the name of Dreyfus's book, wasn't it? Baby Step. Bob, there's a new book, and he's looking around, and that's the only book on the bookshelf, and he goes, ah, here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Funny
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. So I'm sure you may or may not go this weekend, right? You're trying to
score
tickets. No,
I think you've kind of made it clear I should just break down and buy some tickets.
Yes.
So I think
yes.
we can budget it into the fam. I don't think our teenager wants to go. He expressed kind of a feeling the other day. So
yeah. Either you're in or you're out. I think it's kind of like I do something on the side. It's kind of either you get it or you don't. You know, in your head, either you think it's going to be cool or you don't, so you don't do it, whatever. And then you show up and you say, man, I'm glad I went.
He'll go if his best friend, who's a big football guy, used to play football out at Tankaverde.
Uh-huh.
Till he hurt himself. He was actually hoping to get a U of A scholarship. Looked like he was, but I don't know, twisted his shoulder or, I don't know, something that you need to play with. So
you need everything. Twisted his shoulder. I've never heard that term, twisted his shoulder.
It broke, dislocated, that's something that needed surgery, which is ridiculous. I feel bad for a 17-year-old that's already got a, you know, a football injury, but. You know,
right.
My daughter has football injuries, and all she did was fall down on the playground. So,
hey, that's why they don't have playground stuff anymore.
And she's quite the painter. Just thought I would throw that out there. She did a good job painting.
We've reached the point of the show where we're talking about the gibberish.
No. That's not gibberish. That's one of your seven listeners.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just, oh, yeah.
We peeked out.
Right. No. It's great. So we talked about the Sugar Skulls. Basketball's this weekend, Saturday.
Mm.
2 o'clock, 3 o'clock on CBS with U of A. Lots going on again. The women basketball teams in Vegas try to extend some wins here to maybe get lucky or whatever to get into the tournament or a tournament. They've done fantastically well. Adia Barnes has done a great job. The baseball team is back in action. I think they play tomorrow. Softball as well. I know the softball team plays tomorrow. I'm not sure about the baseball team. But they played all weekend as well. We'll see how good the baseball team is. I think they're struggling a bit right now, early in the season. Do we have a caller already?
Well, I wouldn't say a caller. You have a VIP caller, Arizona Housing Solutions.
I just see you typed in your name. Brenda, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hey, thanks for doing this for us and for me. How do you think it went for the first show?
I thought it was awesome. I heard her name a lot, and I'm really excited about the Sugar Skulls, and I can't wait to go to the first game and cheer them on and hope everybody in Tucson gets out to see the team. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Right. I think you've already played a big part in what's going on with them, right, because you've gone to some of their events?
Yeah, I've gone to a few of their events here in town. I got to see the football field, and it was pretty exciting. Really cool. Really cool football field.
Right. What are you looking forward to the most involving them?
You know, it being a new team, I think it's going to be neat to see what they can do. I'm excited about the name Sugar Skulls and what that means to Tucson. I think it's going to be fun to see people, you know, dress up and do the Sugar Skull faces. And I think it's just a really great thing for the community. So I'm excited about that.
Right. Brenda, are you a native?
I'm a Tucson native, yes.
Yeah, so, and I've only been here, 30 years, so I'm kind of a native, but...
doesn't count, sorry.
Doesn't count. No,
sorry to interrupt, Brenda. Tell him it doesn't count.
No, I get it. I know it doesn't. But because you've seen some things come and go, a lot of the sports teams come and go, now I'm sure you as a native are hoping that this baby sticks.
I do. I hope it sticks. I mean, I was sad to see spring training leave Tucson and go to Phoenix. I mean, we're still a part of spring training in Phoenix, but you know, that was sad to see that go away. So I think it's really, really important for everybody in Tucson to get out and support this team. I mean, the way they'll be successful is through us, through the fans. So
right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, again, thanks for helping me sponsor the show and the Sugar Skulls for agreeing to do it. It's a lot of fun. Oh, you know what, too, and I didn't mention this. I forgot that maybe in the next day, because it's probably too late now, let me just do it now. We can probably do it. We're getting four tickets for this weekend's game, courtesy of you guys, of the Arizona Housing Solutions and the Sugar Skulls. So maybe let's take our first two callers.
Ooh.
They'll get two, and then the next caller will get two. I forgot to say that.
Which number should we call, Steve?
790-2040. I'm still a rookie at this, 4 months in.
I just want to know what number I should call.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't disguise your voice. But, yeah, thank you, Brenda. The part of this package was four tickets to the Sugar Skulls, sponsorship of the show and things like that. So thanks again. This is fantastic.
You're welcome. I love this show. You're doing a great job, and I love listening to it. I listen to it almost every day, and when I'm not able to listen to it like on the radio, I'm in the store listening to it on my cell phone. People get annoyed by that, but
yeah.
It's a great show.
It's funny, and now that Bob's answering phone calls, I wanted to say that you kind of took a rip at me last week when Bob and I got into this fight, Team Bob and Team Steve, and you stuck up for Bob. That's a black eye for you. That's a bad
team
thing.
Team Bob.
Yeah. Well, I'll wait for the shirts, and I'll take my Team Steve shirt.
They're on their way.
Thank you. Brenda, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And thanks for supporting the show. There we have it. Thank you, Brenda, again, for doing that. I guess we're having callers already calling in for the tickets. So we have two tickets for the first caller, two tickets for the second caller for this weekend's game on Sunday at the TCC, for their first game ever, in the, indoor league. It should be a lot of fun. And, what we're going to end up doing is taking your name and getting your information, and you'll have the tickets available at will call. So that's how you'll be able to get them. Just, you know, tell them your name and who you're with, and we'll have them there for Wilcox, because they're still trying to get the ticket situation from the team now that they have, what, six days left before they start the season. So we're looking forward to that. I was remiss in not saying that when I had the coach on the show, but I'm looking forward. So each game we're going to have this, or each Monday we're going to have four tickets available to the listeners. Or listener, who's listening to the show, and it should be a lot of fun. So I think we might even have something of a tent there, on Sunday. I'm not sure. I have to see what's going to happen. So you come by and say hi. Many of you guys know who I am. I'm the ugly dude who's good enough for radio. And come by and say hi, listen to the show, or what's up with the show, or whatever. Maybe Bob will be there as well. You can kind of just say hola or whatever. So I'm looking forward to that. So any more callers? Just 790-2040, except that it looks like he's probably got the tickets gone. I'm not too sure. He's on the phone. So what do you think about the basketball program? Scott came in with a phone call, pretty adamant that, he's not a big Sean fan. I understand every point that he's made valid ones. Many people who are not Sean fans bring up the same point. He doesn't play anybody to begin the Pac-12 season. His record is good because he hasn't played anybody. He hasn't taken them deep into the tournament, which means the Final Four, consistently enough. Never took the Final Four, but consistently enough deep in the tournament, is kind of underachieved in that situation. So I get it. And then I get Pancho's side of it too. You know, give him a break. He's doing what he can. This year, the recruiting cycle kind of hit a skids because of a lot of things going on off the court. So here we are. What do you got, Bob?
I just wanted to tell you that I think we probably are up to 8 listeners because Scott and Chuck both called in, and then I had people stacked up behind them that didn't win, and they sounded very depressed.
You're disappointed.
But they're dealing with it. So I got their numbers, but you're going to put them on will call?
Yeah. Mike Fetter said to do it that way because we won't get them physically in hand anytime soon.
Really?
So they're going to go to the game. They can just tell them that the tickets will be available.
Right. So, but you'll have to let Mike know who's their names.
Yes. Right. So it'll be 2-2. So
you got spell this out. B-O-B.
B-O-B. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, sorry.
You're here. Public school?
Yeah, I thought so. So, no, that's good.
So, yeah, Scott and Chuck, but I won't tell you their last names because you'll give that to
them. No, Mike. To Mike. Yeah. No, that's good. People are actually listening. And thanks for Brenda for calling in to say hello and see how we did this first show. Arizona Housing Solutions, Monday afternoon quarterback.
So there you go, Scott and Chuck. Just go to the will call and
tell them
who you are and
that you
love Steve.
You might be able to, I don't know, I have to talk to the powers that be at the station that maybe we have like a tent at the game on Sunday or maybe future Sundays where we have a thing and they
can
meet us. A thing, like a
that's a great
meet,
idea.
Meet and greet type of thing and kind of promote the station. Promote this thing that we do.
It's true. And
you'd have to get out of bed on Sunday. Stop painting.
I don't mind.
Yeah. So tell me.
3 o'clock?
3 o'clock. Let me ask you. So the callers were pretty enthusiastic, except for the ones that didn't win.
No, man, you say Sugar Skulls tickets, man. People call. You say, you know, you got some book by a dog psychic, and it's kind of cricket, cricket, cricket. But then again, I don't know anybody.
No, it's encouraging because you've got that many calls. That means we have some listeners.
There were 5 calls just then. So
if you
add in my dad and my daughter, there's 7. Poncho's 8. And
Olivia, or no, Gloria.
And Brenda,
Gloria,
9. Gloria. Hey, that's 10.
Yeah.
That's easily.
And you know if there's 10, there's 20. And if there's 20, there's probably 40.
Now you sound like me. Now you're pushing it. That's on the negative side, Steve. If you think there's 10, then there's 20. On the positive side, I don't know if it works that way. Now, what are you eating over there? Something healthy? Look at you.
Yes, not popcorn.
Good for you.
I think I'm getting a cold, or the allergies are kicking in because I'm sounding
well,
horrible.
An orange is a very smart thing to eat. Look at that. You're going to end up being svelte.
Thank you very much. Hey, let's go to break with that because we have 15 minutes left of this second hour. We got more calls, Bob?
Yeah, and it was nobody related to either of us. So
no good. No creditors calling us here.
I didn't say that. I just said it was nobody related to us.
But was it a good caller?
Yeah, it was. And then somebody else wanted to know if we wanted to refinance our student loan.
From 40 years ago?
Yeah, that and our health care.
I shouldn't laugh because I signed in one of those for my son's education. Now he's in China. So.
Oh, avoiding those calls.
No, he's in China working.
Really?
Yeah,
what does he do?
He's with the Peace Corps.
Oh, well, that's not a job. That's like donating
that's
your
my,
time
that's
kind
my
of a
point.
Thing.
But he gets paid a little, I guess. But
well, he makes as much as his dad.
His point is pretty much. But he's actually doing his working with the Peace Corps and learning Mandarin so he can come
back.
Well,
how about that?
Yeah, be smarter than dad.
That is amazing.
Take the dad's approach of, I'll work for nothing and have fun.
Yeah.
You know.
It's very admirable.
That's an admiral, too.
Admirable.
Yeah.
So,
gets you to heaven quickly.
Yeah, very, we can talk about that. I don't know about that.
So, the caller, what did he say? What did the caller say something funny?
He was very positive and thought, you know, maybe we should be a little more edgy. And I said, well, I'm working on that. I'm just trying to figure out which Steve Rivera buttons to push.
Pretty much. If you want edgy, that's all you have to do is find out which buttons to push. You did that last week, and you saw that last week.
I certainly did. I could talk about your free entrance
yeah.
into the games.
Yeah.
Or we could talk about the merits of a second marriage.
You know, I'm not... Two topics I would probably just have fun joking about because
yeah,
that would never happen.
Yeah, that didn't really
but
push
you know
your button.
Let me just, for listeners, I can be edgy and can be controversial, but I don't really feel comfortable unless I have a guest that does that with me in a sense because I'm not one of those. I don't like Rome and what he does. It's, you know, anybody can be mean on the radio.
Right.
And I'm not that guy. I can just be give my perspective if that means anything. And I think when I write my columns or whatever, I don't go crazy with it because it's just my perspective on how I think.
When you were younger, were you any edgier?
No. But
probably
I
mellowed out.
Yeah. As with age, yeah. But on the radio, I should very well go there. But
you got to get somebody's got to say something that.
Correct. And let me say, it makes for good radio because last week, let me tell you, when you and I got into it, people loved it. I heard back, and I'm thinking, okay, now I have to listen.
I don't even know what it was.
The fight.
Yeah.
The fight.
I've already forgiven you. See, so I don't.
Well,
I don't remember what you were so passionate about. Well, I honest to gosh.
It's funny because Brenda sent a note. Well, she saw it and put it on Facebook. She was ready to make Team Bob t-shirts and Team Steve t-shirts. and Jamino, she put this on Facebook. And Jamino said, well, he was on Team Bob and so was Brenda. I was already down 0-2.
Oh my gosh.
So Bob, you can just kind of go study. You could kind of know what I'm going to say. Bob, shut the hell up. About
what were you? So what were you talking about that got you? So I can.
You and I.
Yeah.
Oh, Moreno was here, and we were talking about the money that he was making.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And it was
that's
the go
right.
back to Phoenix thing.
No. You know what it was? It was and also being. I think the very first one was whether or not the athletes are supposed to be representing being role models.
Oh,
that was like kind of a mild very first one, if you recall, a few weeks ago.
I don't want to revisit that, but I don't think
No,
that
I'm
we...
just trying to make a note here for the caller's sake of which buttons I can push. Yeah. You know, if our ratings go down, I can go zap. You know?
Yeah, oh yeah, to get
Wasn't
me...
Wasn't that it, though? Wasn't it about...
No,
Roma?
I don't think so.
No, it
I
was about...
So.
It was about making money and
having to speak to it.
$10 million and yeah.
Yeah. That's part of his job.
Right.
It was part of his job, and you were saying, well, some people who make money.
Is that how I
speak.
Talk?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Say it again.
In my mind.
There were people who
make
their money.
Well, it's like the cherry pie thing, Mr. Steve. Where do you go? You go out of left field, and I said, you know, Steve, would you like cherry pie or apple pie? And I said, cherry pie. You mean to tell me you don't like apple pie? Where the
right.
hell do
yeah.
you go with these
That's
things?
That's right. That's right.
You know, you take these answers like and take them to Albuquerque.
Sometimes high is just high, Steve. You know that. Right?
That's one of my phrases. I'm sure you have my phrases in the back there. Hello is just a hello, and every game is a season, and it is what it is because it is what it is. And here we are on the second hour, finishing up the second hour of the Gibberish Show. But hey, I'm glad people were interested in those tickets. I was hoping they would be. We're going to have that every Monday, probably afternoon on 2 o'clock, the 2 o'clock hour, have Coach Coleman or some representative, a player or somebody calling in from, the Sugar Skulls and giving away those tickets. Look forward to that. And if you go to the game and I'm there, say hello. You can find me on Facebook. I post a lot of these shows on Facebook. So you can re-listen to the gibberish.
Where can we find you at the game, though?
I'm not sure.
Say hi to me at the game.
Yes, say hi to me. We'll be in the press row. I'm going to be walking around like a homeless guy. I'll be kind of there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Just dressed how I am today, like a normal one day.
You barely look homeless. You look
shaved.
Like an upper-end homeless person.
I haven't shaved in weeks, yes. When do we get into cameras?
I have no idea. I could put you on right now if you want.
No, I really
don't know.
No.
You act like I know what's going on around here.
Yeah, I realize
Steve.
You don't know much about
No,
much.
I don't. I'm like a mushroom. Why would I? I don't need to know. I'm on a need-to-know basis. So that was Scott. Scott said we were... You're going to get the dean of sports. Oh, you want me to ask him?
Yeah.
So he's asking, when will we get cameras? And I'm so sorry he's asking this on the air, Ray. Do you have any idea? And I just said your name. Hey, Alicia, when do you think we'll get the cameras?
One day.
Okay.
Soon.
Cool. That's as consistent.
Or if not soon, then after soon.
After soon. So that
Or answer, later, or before later.
That answer is pretty normal for my show. Maybe sometime.
Yeah, and you know, it is what it is.
It is.
And every time on the camera is a new season. We were talking about Smith and how much he makes and whether or not he needs to talk to the press. That's what you and I were.
Smith? Who's Smith?
Sorry, Miller, Smith, yes. Jones. It's, you know, you kind of roll all into one thing. Sorry. Don't you have senior moments?
I do it every
Sean
day.
Sean Miller.
Yeah. No.
We were talking about his pay. I was talking about
he came up with the Get Back to Phoenix stuff, and he was not answering questions. And he's entitled to do that. Of course he's entitled to do that. It's his job. But it's his job to answer the questions. No comment or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, perfect. I'm fine with that.
And I think you were kind of on the side of the Phoenix reporter, and I was saying, I don't know about it.
Well, of course, also a reporter. The question needs to be asked, and how Sean or anybody chooses to respond, that's on them. That's not on the reporter.
Yeah,
it's like when reporters in the paper write stories, they are just the messenger. They're not the reason why the story was done. Depends, and people have agendas. People have agendas. I won't disagree with that. Don't start thinking your little head off because
I was going another place that I saw that I don't know if it was the New York Times. One of the big papers just commented this morning that we are a mecca for cycalists. So I thought was really interesting. One of the newspapers. Which I love because I like when we are viewed in a positive light here, and considering all the things going on right now, I don't know. And I wonder, thinking back to the listener that wants to get rid of Miller, is he just mad because we look bad in front of everybody else? Is that part of it? I don't think you asked him that.
No, but I've asked him. He's a very smart guy. I know. I've never met Scott. He's not a guy who calls. He's called the second time. I've heard him on other shows, and he brings up the point all the time. At some point, you have to kind of look at the big picture of Sean, and he's done a very good job. There's no question about that. It's whether he'll continue to do that, and he hasn't done much with a lot of talent. Last year would be that perfect example where he had some of the best talent ever here, and they flamed out in the first round.
And just because you get rid of your first wife doesn't mean the second's going to be any better.
Correct.
So,
or does it mean
that's
that
what Pancho was saying.
Or does it mean that you'll be happy without one?
Or any happier with the second than you were with the first.
I love these analogies.
Think about it before you get rid of number one. That's a Pancho
saying. True. But also, let me tell you something.
Please.
If we're using that analogy, there's a reason why the used car business is pretty good business.
Because
you find a nice car on the second or third time around, you're doing okay.
It's got that new car smell.
New car smell for at least a little while, yes. So, you know, any analogy you want to use it's fine because it is what it is. And I've said this before. Sean will be fine whether he's here or not. Arizona will be fine whether he's here or not. It is what it is because everyone wondered, Lutz is going to retire and he's going to leave. What are we going to do? Oh, up in arms. It turned out okay. Everything turns out okay. This is the University of Arizona. It still has a pretty good label on it.
Right.
The face of it is pretty good. It's recognizable. And Arizona is not going to go out and hire some schlub.
And if Miller goes down the tubes really bad, let's say April goes really bad, we'll survive that
You'll survive that too.
You bet. It wouldn't really.
It's been around for more than 100 years. Guess
sure.
what? My guess is it'll be around for another 100.
Well said, Mr. Rivera.
Yes. Well, thank you. I do come up with some lines every now and
beautiful.
Again.
Beautiful.
Yes.
If I wasn't married and. Anyway, never mind.
Okay. Thank you.
Straight.
Be quiet. Okay. Hey, thanks for joining me.